I thank you that you are a God that cares about every aspect of our lives. You love us as dearly loved children because you're our Heavenly Father. And one of the other ways that you've loved us is you've loved us as a shepherd, because we're your sheep. And so, Lord, I pray that we would remember that and we would hold true to that. Lord, as we open up your word this morning or this evening, I pray that we would hear it. I pray that we would see it. Lord, I ask that you would use me to say what is true. And may your people hear what you have said this evening. And it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We're going to be in Psalm 23. So if you want to be heading over there in your Bible, it's a psalm most of us have read or at least heard. We're going to talk a little bit about that at the beginning. But Psalm 23, let me read that. It reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's God's word, Psalm 23. So this is actually like a really fun time for me in the sports calendar. Baseball, it's off and running. I used to have a fantasy baseball team. I don't anymore, but it's just good to know that baseball is off and running. We can also see that the football season is on the horizon. That's very, very exciting in our culture. And I don't know if you heard this, but LeBron is now a Laker. Goodness me, what is that going to be like next year? That is going to be crazy. And I know you don't watch soccer, but I do. And I just want you to know that the World Cup is happening right now. And that's really a lot of fun for me. It's been really distracting. And just so you know, I picked France to win it. And we'll see what happens next week. We'll know a week from right now who won that. And the thing about sports and the sports media is really all the sports cliches, right? I mean, if you watch sports, you know what I'm talking about. I actually believe there are about five things that athletes and coaches learn to say before and after every single game. And these phrases, they're rehearsed. I think they're coached, and they're repeated so often that they don't really mean very much anymore. In fact, I don't think they're supposed to actually mean anything. They might actually be true, but I don't know about you, but I've actually stopped listening to them when these guys start talking. This is what they sound like. It's like this. Like the commentator. They have to have a great game for their team to win. You ever heard anything like that? I mean, it's almost silly. Or if they're going to win, they're going to need to have a fast start, like whatever that means. Or this is a coach after a game, maybe it's after a loss, like, "We showed great mental strength." Well, I mean, what does that mean? Or the coach saying, or a player, "If we're going to get better, we'll have to improve." I mean, What does that mean? I mean, have you ever heard any of these statements? It's like they're talking, but they're not really saying anything. And we're going to hear them again. I think we'll always hear them. Well, this evening, we are looking at the 23rd Psalm. And this psalm in particular, it may be the most famous of all the scriptures in the Bible. I've heard it in country music. I've heard it in rap music. Believe it or not, I've heard it in techno music. It's been used in movies, TV, and it's been read at a lot of funerals that a lot of us have been to. In fact, millions of people across the globe, they have memorized this psalm. Even people who don't know or follow after Christ or not even religious, they are familiar with this psalm. Ministers like me, they use it to comfort people that are going through hardship. And for many people, this psalm has been the very last words that they have uttered in this life. And so, with all that said, I think for a lot of us, this psalm may have become cliche to you, kind of like those sports guys. It may have become like those guys after the game. I know for me, like, as soon as we start heading in or reading this psalm, my brain, for some reason, it just turns off. It shuts down because I've heard it so many times that I stop listening. And if I'm honest, maybe I hadn't really looked at this psalm for what it is. And here's the deal. The psalm is famous because it's true. It's famous because it's sweet. It's famous because it's beautiful. And so this evening, I hope that all of us are going to be able to remember what God has said in this portion of Scripture, especially if this psalm has become like a sports cliche to you, where your brain just turns off when you hear it. And we're just going to make a few observations along the way. And the psalm begins with a truth statement. Verse 1. It just says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so this is the statement that actually frames the rest of the psalm. Everything else is a description of how God is my shepherd. And it's a very, very simple statement, but it's actually quite amazing. And for the original reader, this is a shocking statement. It should be shocking to us. And so the word Lord, it's the English translation of the personal name for God. And so if you're looking in your Bible, notice that all the letters are capitalized. And so this is a cue, this is a sign, this lets us know that this is God's name. And so if you remember, the name means I am who I am. It's a name that can't be described, and it's a name that's actually really, really hard to understand. This is actually on purpose, and it actually points us to the kind of person that God is. He's beyond time. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need us, and he's always existed. He needs no wisdom from anyone because he has all wisdom. He needs no power from anywhere because he has all the power. He doesn't need our worship. He can't be served by us. We can't help him. He isn't accountable to anyone. He's not going to change. He was like this yesterday. He's like this today, and he's going to be like this in the future. And so his name actually points to all of these realities about who God is, and he is really, really different from us. And we should see that when we see the word the Lord. And then the psalm says something that should be completely surprising and maybe even a little bit shocking. The psalm says that this God is my shepherd. And so this should shock us. God is my shepherd. When this was written, a shepherd's work, it was actually considered to be the lowest of all the work. And so in society, a shepherd wasn't respected. In fact, a shepherd was probably at the bottom of society. And so the job was so bad that if a family needed a shepherd, they got the youngest person in the family to do that work. And we know this, like, from David, right? He was the youngest son, and he was the shepherd. Nobody wanted that job. And so shepherds, they had to live with the sheep 24 hours a day, and their work, it never ended, day and night, summer and winter, good weather, bad weather. They always had a job to do. And what was their job? It was to take care of the sheep. And so it was a dirty job. Nobody wanted it. And for all those reasons, it was just a bad job. And yet God, in light of all of this, he describes himself like as our shepherd. The great God of the universe has stooped to take care of you and to take care of me. And it's actually this statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," that sets Christianity apart from every other religion. You see, every other religion believes that God is either transcendent or that he is like so close that he's everything. See, Christianity believes that God is not only transcendent, but he is also near. And so Islam, it holds that God can't be approached. That's transcended. But Buddhism holds that God is everywhere, that is near. But here in this statement, the Lord is my shepherd, what do we see? We see both realities. We see that God is both transcendent and he's immanent at the same time. He sits high above the earth and he lives with you and me, and he knows our names. He does. And he cares for us. And so in this statement, we see that God has stooped to take care of you and to take care of me. So let me ask this question. Like, does this sound familiar? It should. I mean, this is the same move that's happened at the incarnation when Christ came to the earth. God became a man. God stooped. And so the statement, the Lord is my shepherd, it actually points us to Christ. It's a reminder, like, you know, Jesus is my shepherd. He is a God who stooped and became a man. In fact, Jesus identifies himself as a shepherd. He does that in the book of John chapter 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. And what does he say? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And so the psalm begins with a declaration, a true statement. The Lord is my shepherd. And so as we get going, I just want to ask you this question. Like, I want to ask, like, is God your shepherd? Is he? Have you come to a point in your life where you know Jesus as your shepherd? Have you allowed him to lay down his life on your behalf? Have you come to that place? Or are you trying to prove yourself all the time? And so this evening, we're going to look at three results of being shepherded by God. And so these are things that happen to anyone who has trusted Christ and has begun to walk with him. And so ask yourself this, if, like, is this true of me? Am I being shepherded by God? And so we're going to look at the three I will or I shall statements in the psalm. And so if you're taking notes, it's just the results of his care. Three results. That's what we're going to look at. And so the first I shall is in verse 1. It immediately follows the statement, the Lord is my shepherd. And so it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so here's the first result of God shepherding your life, and it's this. It's like, we can say this, I am satisfied. It's kind of like what we've been talking about in the morning. We can have a deep satisfaction, a joy that is more than happy. And this is actually a big deal. I mean, there are some who say, and I'm actually one of them, that human beings spend a lifetime trying to satisfy their desires. We want to be happy. We want to be content. We want to be satisfied. We want to be able to say this, that I shall not want. In fact, I would say that everything you have ever done was a grasp at satisfaction or happiness or joy or contentment, however you want to put it. Like, that was the driving motivation. Blaise Pascal, he said this. He said, all men seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. The cause of some going to war and others avoiding it is the same desire in both, attended with different views. The will never takes the least step but to this object. This is the motive of every action of every man, even of those who hang themselves. And so if we're honest with ourselves, then we have to admit that most of what we seek for happiness and satisfaction, like, it doesn't cut it, does it? The new car, it gets old. The dream job, it becomes boring. The relationship we always long for, we find out that those take work. The house we thought we always needed, it becomes a burden. And so in this psalm, we see something else. We see that happiness rests not on our circumstances, not on what we have, not on a relationship or position or title. It rests on this question. Are you God's sheep? is the Lord your shepherd. Everything in the world that we thought would make us happy and satisfy, it actually turns out to be a disappointment at some point. And here the psalmist says that when God is your shepherd, that you can't live, that you can live without want. You can be satisfied. You can stop your search for happiness and contentment because God can meet this basic need through Christ. And so this is a big deal for humanity, and this is actually good news. Everyone wants this, and the psalm says that it's available if God is your shepherd, if the Lord is your shepherd. And so here's the next truth. I don't need to be afraid. And this is actually a pretty important truth, if we're honest. You know, my kids, they don't like the dark. They're afraid of the dark. You know, at bedtime, we tell them, hey, you can't come out of your room. We get real firm with them, like, you can't come out of your room anymore. But they know if they come out of the room and they just say, hey, I'm scared, they know that, you know what, who can be mad at that, right? And so I think it's cute. We pray together. We hope that, you know, we ask that God would be with them and that they would trust instead of being afraid, and we think it's cute. But, you know, let's be honest. We all have things that we are afraid of. And there could be things in your closet that are actually paralyzing you. From losing a job or caring what others might think of you or whether or not things are going to work out or whether or not things are, you know, a lot of us, we carry anxiety that is actually based on fear. We live our lives just kind of scared of what might happen. And the psalmist is offering something totally different. If God is our shepherd, we don't have to fear. Look at verse 4. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See where it says, I will fear no evil. You know, oftentimes this verse is used to comfort those who are dying, and I think that's okay. I think that's proper. God, he's a source of comfort when we die, and there is hope there. We're looking forward to a better future with God. And in this text, it says, we have no need to fear even death. But this verse is actually mostly about the shepherd's ability to protect his sheep. In the book of Shepherds, look at Psalm 23, Philip Keller, he writes as a pastor who was once a shepherd. And the picture that Keller points us to is that the valley is a seasonal passage from the lowlands where the sheep spend winter through the valleys to the high pastures where they're going to spend the summer. And so the valleys, they're actually a place of danger. There are wild animals, there could be violent storms, there could be floods, and because the sun doesn't shine in the valley, there are shadows that can actually become shadows of death. And it's at this point that we can say that the valley is actually the right path. It's the path that is leading towards green pastures and quiet waters. So here's what this means for us. Following Christ, it's not always tranquil. It's not always easy. It's not always this mountaintop experience. We can say, if God is our shepherd, that God gives us valleys. And it's in the valleys of trouble and danger where, guess what? We develop character that looks and smells like Jesus. And the psalm assures us that when we're in the valley, when the harsh weather is coming your way, when you've got the bad news, when you think you can't make it, when you're fighting cancer, when a child is struggling, when all the critics are loud, when the storms of life are coming hard after you, and you just know that the storms are stronger than you, the psalm says, God is with you. He's with you. He is your shepherd, and he's guiding you. And that's enough. And so the valley, it's actually a really good picture for us. A Christian is able to retrieve their well-being because their happiness, it's not found in this current circumstance, in this current storm. Remember, God is your shepherd. And so we don't have to be afraid. The next "I shall" phrase that we see in the text is in verse 6. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so everything in this verse, it's pointing us to the future. It says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. And so this verse, it's orienting us towards what is to come, what is next, towards the future, our future of hope. And so these last verses, they portray this life as a pilgrimage to our heavenly home. It's God's house. And so what that means is, like, the world as we know it, it's not our final home. There's actually something better that we can look forward to. There's something good waiting for those who know God as their shepherd. And so this is our next truth. I will live with God. And so we don't need to fear death and dying, because we know that, guess what? We will be resurrected with Christ. Jesus says this in the book of John, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And so this is the great hope of being with Christ. This is our hope that actually anchors our soul in this life. Even death has been defeated because Christ has paid the death we owe. And what happened next? He rose from the dead. He conquered death. And so we don't even have to be afraid of death. And so we ask this question, like, is the Lord your shepherd? Let me put it another way. Have you found satisfaction? Does your heart say, like, at the end of the day, I shall not want? Or do you constantly find yourself looking for the next thing that can bring you joy? The next relationship, the next possession, the next position in life? Is the grass always greener somewhere else? If this is true, that's wanting. That is. And maybe, just maybe you haven't discovered the joy that's found when we say the Lord is my shepherd. Or what about this? And this is speaking to me. I struggle with anxiety sometimes. But have you found yourself afraid just of life? Do you find yourself worrying about your finances? Does the worry or the anxiety or the fear of what others might think of you, does it just paralyze your life? This is fear, and if it's true, then your heart hasn't truly said that the Lord is my shepherd. And what about your future after death? Like, are you sure of your future? The psalmist is. And we all have that available as well. I mean, does your heart know that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever? You know, all of us have a shepherd. We do, if we're honest. We all look to someone or something or some kind of experience to bring us comfort. For some of us, it's a person. For others, it could be a habit. For some of us, that safe place is really, we're just trusting ourselves to be our own shepherd. And the reality is that none of these is a sure shepherd like the Lord. Only the Lord is God. And only He can deliver us all through the valley. And so we just end with this question. Will we trust him? And if you're having trouble even with that, I would ask this question. Will you ask him to help you trust him? Because he'll even do that. Let me pray. Father, we confess that you are a good shepherd and we are your sheep. And we wander off. We're dirty. We can't feed ourselves. And we need you. And you've come through for us time and time again. You've come to our rescue through Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us know you as a shepherd by faith. Help us trust you through every stage of life, knowing that you are good and faithful and you will do exactly what you say. May the cry of our hearts be, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And may we say that and pray that with confidence. And it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.